Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Girard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Verger, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Bonamici will lead us in the pledge. Invocation today is by Pastor Dave Daugherty from the Hoodview Church of God in Woodburn.
It's a privilege to be here today. An old man was at a prayer meeting a few years ago, and at that prayer meeting he would pray the same prayer. He was a farmer, and this little boy would go every weekend. He'd hear this farmer pray, and oh God, clear out the cobwebs and spider webs out of this church and this place. After about 100 times hearing that prayer, the little boy was heard to be say, when the man said, clear out the cobwebs, he said, and God, kill the spider. And I pray that sometimes in our lives we need to do the practical thing. Oh God, it's so great to be here today in this great place, to be with these people who have been elected by the members of this great state that what I was born in. I pray your blessing upon each senator here, regardless of their background, regardless of their political position. God, use them. May they understand that you love them. You put them in a position of responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And, dear Lord, you have taught us that he would be great among us, will be servant of all. Bless these servants this day, I pray. May they sense your peace. May they find thoughtfulness, kindness. May they listen to each other. May they be sensitive to truth. And dear Father, if anyone is hurting in here today, because we're each a person, I ask you to bless them. I ask you to encourage them. And make this session profitable. I ask this in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dave Daugherty, for your invocation. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to Pastor Daugherty. Thanks, Senator Bonamici, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. There are other courtesies of the Senate at this time. Other remonstrances, excuse me. Recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sorry, I was a little bit slow on this. But
without objection, we will return to the order of courtesies. Please proceed, Senator Cruz.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce my new intern for this session, Nathan Raymond. He is a senior at Oregon State, majoring in political science with a minor in education. He told me that he might actually want to become a teacher, and, Mr. President, you know we need more and more teachers. Actually, he moved from Ohio to Roseburg, so obviously he has been brought up in the right way of thinking. So it's my pleasure to add him to my staff for the remainder of the session. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Nathan, thank you for coming on board. We look forward to your contribution. It's an honor and privilege to have you here. And having lived in West By God, Virginia for a while, which is right beside the state of Ohio, I am somewhat familiar with the Ohio area as well. So, Ohioan, Roseburg, Oregonian, thanks for coming here, Nathan. Have a good day, and we look forward to seeing you throughout the session. Thank you. Recognize Senator Dave Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Today I have at my desk Riley Mulvihill, who is a seventh grader at Hermiston High School, not high school, middle school. He's very interested in politics, history. He's a musician. He just is a wonderful young man, and I would ask that the Senate give courtesies to Riley Mulvihill.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Riley, I'd like to extend a courtesy to the Senate to him. If you're interested in politics and political science, you've got a good teacher in Senator Nelson and his wife, Alice. So I'm sure he's going to learn a lot from you, and you can learn a lot from him. But thank you for coming to your state capitol. I hope you have a good day here, okay? Come back and see us again. We're now going to remonstrances. See, no red lights. Messages from the House, please.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the Speaker to inform you that the House has passed House Bills 2595, 2660, adopted House Concurrent Resolution 1, and on March 27th, the Speaker signed House Bills 2061, 2336, Senate Bills 271, 394, 395, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 4.
Reports from conference committees. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in the caucus room.
Senator Ferrioli.
Yes, Mr. President. Likewise, Republicans will go to the caucus room for 15 minutes.
Thank you. The Senate will recess until 10:45 a.m. To 10:45 a.m. The Senate is now in recess. The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. Senate recess following the order of reports from conference committees, and will resume under reports from the standing committees, and so ordered. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 49 was distributed to members March 26th, and number 50 was distributed March 27th, and number 51 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal and in the status report, and it is so ordered. Reports from special committees. We're now on to propositions and motions. I recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 155.
Senator Lori Montes Anderson has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 155. To your motion, please.
Colleagues over in the House, they amended and basically clarified the role of a chief medical examiner, whether it's hired as a state employee, as an unclassified employee, a self-employed contractor, or an employer of a private or public entity who contracts with the Department of Human Services to provide the services of the chief medical officer. It also establishes supervision of other physicians and delegation of authority by the chief medical officer.
Thank you. We're now under discussion on the motion to concur. Okay. Those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 155 will answer aye. As the names are called, those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates.
Senator Bates. Okay.
Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prozonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Atkinson, Boquist, 28 ayes.
Senator Morris, what purpose do you... Okay, let's stop then. I thought it was changing votes or something. So let me do this first. Senate Bill 155, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request...
I'm coordinated now. Senator Morris, please.
Third time's a charm. Thank you, Mr. President. Request return to courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you. Mr. President, I would ask you extend courtesies to the North Albany Elementary School, fourth and fifth graders. We have 39 of them up in the gallery on the south balcony. We would like to welcome them to the Capitol today and would appreciate an extension of courtesies from the Senate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Frank Morris. To the North Albany Elementary School, I thought I saw a lot of buses coming up in front of the Capitol today, so now I know where the buses were coming from, North Albany. So to all the fourth and fifth graders, it's great you come to your state capitol. This is your state capitol. It belongs to you. So we're glad you're here. We hope you'll come back again. We hope you have a great day here. So it's a real honor and privilege to have you here. I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to each and every one of you. Thank you very much, as well as to the teachers and those individuals that brought you here. Thank you, Senator Marsh. Recognize Senator Ted Farrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have the singular honor of requesting courtesies of the Senate for D.R. Johnson, who joins me at my desk today. And I believe there are 21 members of his family that are up in the gallery above me, including Senator Rod Johnson. So, Mr. President, this is a special day for us at the Capitol, and I hope we can make it a special day for D.R. Johnson, who joins me at my desk today. So courtesies are requested for D.R. Johnson and the entire Johnson family.
Thank you. It's a very high honor, D.R., to have you on the Senate floor today. It's a real privilege to all the Johnsons that are here. If you're in the gallery, are you in the gallery? Oh, yeah, their hands are going up. Well, great. I'm glad you could join us. It's an honor and privilege to have you here, especially when we're in session like this. So we hope you have a great day in your state capitol. Come back and see us again. Thank you. And thank you, Senator Farrioli, for bringing that to our attention. I appreciate it. Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask that courtesies be extended to the young lady at my desk here, which is Carly Westbrooks. She is the granddaughter of D.R. Johnson, who is sitting at Senator Farrioli's desk. Also is the first cousin of my wife, as is most of the gallery, so they're in my family here. But anyway, I would ask that courtesies be extended to Carly joining me on the floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, Carly, glad you could be here. I'd like to extend a courtesy sent to you. And again, we recognize the Senator Larry George's family also as well. I hope I'm covering it all because they're up there in the back and they're looking down on you. So you better do good today, Larry, Senator George. So thank you. Thank you again for bringing that to our attention, Senator Larry George. And Carly, you have a good day here, okay? Have a great day. Recognize Senator Margaret Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleague, sitting at my desk with me is an intern from the University of Oregon. Her name is Amanda Husted, and quite an interesting young woman who is interested, her bachelor's degree is in political science and is interested in public policy. She's a second-year law student now, has not decided on her concentration other than the fact that she does like public policy. So please welcome Amanda Husted with us today.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Amanda, thanks for being here. We have an intern today from U of O and from Oregon State, so the Ducks and Beavers are well represented here. So we hope you have a great day, and you'll learn a lot from Senator Carter, and I'm sure she's going to learn a lot from you. So thank you for coming. I'd like to extend a courtesy Senate to you. Thank you, Amanda. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a bit of a timing issue, too, but throughout the day, I'm going to have 64 students from Nestucca Valley High School here with Frank Bronner, and they are visiting a variety of folks in the Capitol today and understanding the history of this wonderful building, and I hope that you will extend courtesies of the Senate to them.
Thank you. Yes, I'm supposed to speak to the Nestucca Valley students. I do every year, every session. I am struggling here to find the mascot. Senator Johnson, do you know the mascot? Well, then we'll take that, but I'm going to find it before this day's over, I'll tell you that. I got to get a better chart up here. So anyway, thank you. I'd like to extend the courtesies to them. I don't. Is Stucker students, Valley students, they are here. They're in the back. Oh, there. I'm going to speak to them. They're all in the back, too. So great. We'll be talking to them later. So thank you for coming. This is your capital, and I think you were supposed to come earlier. The weather, the snow stopped them from coming earlier. So we're glad you were finally able to come and look forward to talking to you later on. Thank you. Action executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction of first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 970 relating to state rail property.
Transmitted to the President's desk. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 108 relating to practice of veterinary medicine, Senate Bill 200 relating to homelessness, Senate Bill 479 relating to opportunities for disabled veterans in public contracting and declaring an emergency, Senate Bill 538 relating to physical education and declaring an emergency, Senate Bill 639 relating to Oregon Wheat Commission, Senate Bill 660 relating to Oregon State Capital Foundation and appropriating money, Senate Bill 780 relating to Asset Forfeiture Oversight Advisory Committee.
These are passed to the calendar. We're now on the third reading of Senate measures. Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 94, relating to fingerprints requested by Director of Veterans Affairs.
I recognize Senator Floyd Pazansky, who will carry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill comes from your Judiciary Committee, Senate Bill 94, passed on a 5-0 vote. The carrier is the good senator from West Valley. He's called for military duty, so the chair is carrying the bill for him. This bill is actually allows the Director of Veteran Affairs to request fingerprints for certain individuals for the purposes of conducting criminal records checks on those individuals. These are individuals that will be in positions that could have access to sensitive information, including personal identifiers of veterans and others that have business before the Veterans Affairs. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Pazansky. We're now on a discussion. Now rise upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 94. Those in opinion of bill's class say aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Pazansky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Atkinson, Boquist, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 94, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads the bill, please.
Senate Bill 631, relating to phosphate cleaning agents.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 631 comes to you with unanimous support from the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Put simply, this bill will lower the amount of phosphorus entering Oregon's waterways. This includes streams, lakes, and rivers. As some background, in 1991, Oregon passed legislation which banned selling detergents that contain more than 0.5% phosphorus. However, there was an exemption for dishwasher detergents. Dishwasher detergents may contain up to 8.7% phosphorus. Senate Bill 631 removes the exemption and clarifies that dishwasher detergents are also limited to 0.5% phosphorus. When phosphorus is introduced to surface or groundwater, it increases algal growth. This increased algal growth can reduce oxygen levels in water and harm aquatic life. Other states have recognized that limiting phosphorus in detergents is a relatively easy way to reduce the amount of phosphorus entering waterways, and there are now 12 other states with similar limits on the amount of phosphorus in dishwasher detergent, including the state of Washington. In committee, we heard no opposition to this bill. In fact, the Soap and Detergent Association supports this ban, as many other states have already adopted it. The Soap and Detergent Association requested changes to this bill that made it more in line with Washington's legislation. Those amendments were adopted, and those changes were incorporated, and now the association fully supports this bill. Senate Bill 631 is an important method to reduce the amount of contaminants entering our waterways, and I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Question now rises upon a third reading. The final passage of Senate Bill 631. Those in opinion of bills passed, say aye. Name and call those opposed. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick.
Senator Burdick.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette.
Senator.
Morse. Nelson. Pazansky.
Senator Pazansky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Atkinson, Boquist. Voting no, Cruz, Whitsett. 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 631, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. For the record, in the Stucker Valley High School, they are the Bobcats. First reading of House measures.
House Concurrent Resolution 1, in memoriam, Gene Mader, 1916 to 2008. House Bill 2595, relating to persons employed to provide certain health care services. House Bill 2660, relating to workers' memorial scholarship account.
Transfer to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2256, relating to State Housing Council review of Housing and Community Services Department transactions. House Bill 2257, relating to Community Development Incentive Project Fund. House Bill 2258, relating to individual development accounts. House Bill 2259, relating to Community Action Directors of Oregon.
It's a pass to the calendar. Third reading of House measures.
House Bill 2190, relating to valuations under motor vehicle liability insurance.
Recognize Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2190A engrossed, which comes from the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. And this bill deals with the unfortunate circumstance of a motor vehicle accident in which the driver's car has been totaled by the insurance company or considered a total loss. This is a circumstance where people can be very much in a difficult place because they need that vehicle or the money that will come to them eventually in order to provide transportation to get to work, in some cases to get their kids to school. And it's notoriously difficult to place a value on a motor vehicle due to the large number of variables that affect that valuation. And adding to these problems, as I mentioned before, is the sense of urgency for the consumer who is without transportation. So House Bill 2190A will do three things. It will increase transparency in the total loss process, giving consumers the necessary tools to make more informed decisions when faced with a total loss. It will increase the incentive for insurers to make fair and accurate valuations and settlement offers by requiring that they reimburse consumers reasonable appraisal costs when a final appraisal results in a greater evaluation. And finally, it will decrease the sense of urgency felt by those consumers by requiring insurers to pay the undisputed amount of the vehicle's value. We were told by the insurance division that this is the single category about which they get more complaints than any other. And so clearly it is a problem which needs a solution. The one provided here in House Bill 2190A is a reasonable compromise, and I would urge your support.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be brief. I oppose this bill in committee, and I did so for a couple reasons. First of all, there are several bills before our committee of which by themselves don't add a tremendous amount of cost to insurance premiums. But in combination, they will add substantial amount. And this is one of those bills. And so you have to look at what the benefits are to this bill and do a cost-benefit analysis. Now, the second part is appraisers. This bill is based on appraisers. And appraisers are not regulated in this state, so there's nothing to say that someone can't make a career out of saying they can beat insurance appraisers and therefore you will be entitled to more money. Let me make it clear exactly what this bill does. If your vehicle is totaled and you are a third-party claimant to an insurance company and you say the car was worth $20,000 but Blue Book says it was worth $12,000, the insurance company then has to go pay the $12,000 up front without getting the condition rectified. So then you would have that margin in between to take to court. Well, two things are going to happen. One is binding arbitrations are going to go up, or number two, the courts are going to be inundated with claims because the claimant has no reason not to settle, or to settle, rather. So they have no reason to settle. So what's it going to do to insurance claims? It's going to raise it very, very significant, and there's very little benefit to this package. So I'd urge a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of House Bill 2190A and wanted to make just a couple of points about it. First of all, I see the situation different from my colleague in terms of the possibility of raising disputes. I think that if the payment is made of the undisputed amount, that might lead to less rather than more litigation, because the person whose car has been totaled at least has received some payment. The second point I wanted to make is that in this situation, I was concerned that by receiving the partial payment of the undisputed amount, that might waive the right to claim a higher amount later. And I wanted to clarify that the bill in Section 3 specifically addresses that situation and says that acceptance of the payment of the undisputed amount does not waive the rights. Colleagues, there's always going to be disputes about a total loss when somebody believes that their car is worth more than the insurance company is telling them. And this bill doesn't change that. That's sort of human nature, that people have this sort of sentimental attachments to their car. And that needs to get resolved. But what this bill does is at least gives the person whose car was totaled the undisputed amount so they can have transportation provided while they're negotiating the total amount. So I urge your support for House Bill 2190A. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, there is no doubt that there's a problem here with determining the value of a car once it's been totaled. The consumer always feels that the car is worth more, and the insurance company thinks that it's worth. The problem is here is that the valuation is, I don't believe, really going to be determined well by a process like in this particular bill in 2190. I think we need a solution. I don't see this as a compromise. I see it as just another thing of hoops that people go through. I do blame the insurance companies for not coming up with a, like the Kelley Blue Book, or some standard that the consumer can have more confidence in, rather than just every time explaining some methodology that doesn't really support any confidence that they've not just decided that that's what your car is worth. There is a problem. I don't see House Bill 2190 as a solution, so I will be a no.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just briefly, I just want to clarify that the only thing really changed by this bill is the fact that the insurance company would pay the amount that's not in dispute. So that doesn't really change anybody's rights to dispute the entire amount or continue to dispute part of it. So I think it is something that's meant to address that consumer standpoint of somebody who's without a car and simply needs to be able to get some money to get replacement transportation. And once again, I would urge your support.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Devlin has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Bonamici and Senator Rosenbaum. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. The sergeant at arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morset, Morse, Nelson, Pozanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All members subject to the call are present. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2190A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morset, Morse, Nelson, Pozanski, Pozanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr?
No.
Telfer?
No.
Ferger?
No.
Walker?
Aye.
Whitsett?
No.
Winters?
No.
Atkinson? Bates?
Aye.
President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused, Atkinson, Boquist, voting no. Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Whitsett, Winters, 16 ayes.
House Bill 2198, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Verger, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I declare a potential conflict of interest. I have a relative in the car business, though they do not own a body shop, so they do not do that type of repairs.
Thank you, Senator Verger. Your conflict will be noted for the record. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2326, relating to motor vehicle liability coverage.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2326, as amended, would impose the first increase in personal injury protection and minimum property damage limits on automobile policies in over 20 years. Personal injury protection was designed to ensure that Oregonians who were injured in an accident would receive 70% of their average weekly wage to help them and their families survive until they could return to work. Minimum property damage limits provide protection for liability for property damage caused by a driver if that person is at fault in a car accident. Coverage amounts for personal injury protection have not been increased since 1989, and amounts for liability protection have not been increased since 1985. Both of these amounts are currently very inadequate to help Oregonians who are involved in accidents. House Bill 2326, A, raises the maximum wage loss benefit from $1,250 to $3,000 a month to reflect today's cost of living. It also raises the minimum property damage limits from $10,000 to $20,000 per accident to ensure property damage coverage is sufficient to compensate for more economic losses. House Bill 2326A is the result of a compromise reached by proponents and opponents of the bill in the House Consumer Protection Committee. It passed the House by a vote of 58-2, and it came to you unanimously from your Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs, and I urge an aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, to the bill.
The bill.
This bill is an insurance mandate. There's no way that this cannot increase the cost of insurance premiums for the average Oregonian, particularly for those who only can afford to buy liability insurance. I think this is a very poor time in our economic condition to pass a bill that would create a mandate that unfortunately would increase the cost of insurance. And if there's a way that we can essentially double the liability payments without increasing the cost of the premiums, I'd like to see what it is. So I'll be a no on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Burdick, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2326A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli,
no.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
yes.
Haas,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
no.
Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse,
no.
Nelson,
no.
Przonski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
no.
Telfer,
aye.
Ferger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett,
no.
Winters, Atkinson, Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
Excused, Atkinson, Boquist, voting no, Ferrioli, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Whitsett, 22 ayes.
House Bill 2326A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SRA 0.40, sub 3, committee referral list number 83, was distributed to the members on March 27th. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the status report. So ordered. Announcements. If there are no announcements, without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 Tuesday, March 31st.